guest today is Siri Kalsa. Siri is the founder and CEO of Stance Advocacy Services, advising on corporate activism and social impact, including for maritime companies. She is also a member of the board of directors of the Monaco Hydrogen Alliance, a not-for-profit association which promotes the use of green hydrogen in land, air, and maritime transportation through the Monaco Prize for Innovation in Renewable Hydrogen and Transportation. The ambition, says the group, is, and I'm quoting from their website, to contribute to reversing the curve of the environmental impact of mobility in our societies thanks to renewable hydrogen. So to talk about the role they're playing in that and the Monaco Hydrogen Forum conference, which has just had its first edition, and to talk also about the S in ESG and how it applies to shipping, delighted to have Siri on the show. Siri, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, delighted to have you. Thank you for taking the time out for us and for our listeners. So would you please introduce us to the Monaco Hydrogen Alliance?
Yes. Well, I'm really happy to do that. It is a new organization. It is a non-for-profit organization that we put together here in Monaco under Monégasque law. And the purpose is to promote the use of renewable hydrogen in land, air, and maritime transportation. And so what we do is try to bring, you know, we've got three key activities. We curate, we convene, and we catalyze. And all of this we do around the adoption of renewable hydrogen solutions for across mobility sectors. So this is kind of why we formed. And then, you know, what might be particularly interesting for your listeners is we are looking definitely at the shipping industry. So last year, we've formed a task force, which is called Transforming the Maritime Value Chain with Renewable Hydrogen. And we're starting discussions around new solutions and hopefully developing an industry roadmap around the use of hydrogen for the shipping sector. And we've teamed up with the Geneva Graduate Institute. And so there's a team that's actually working on this, and we're hoping that they're going to come out with a publication next year with a bit of a roadmap that we can provide to the industry. So, you know, that's quite exciting. And we had our first forum, which I'd, you know, love to tell you more about.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So in November, we had our first forum here in Monaco, and that's the convening part of our our objectives. And we brought together people from really around the renewables industry, not just hydrogen, and also around the transportation sector. And we had represented, we had about 200 people come, which was, we thought, really great for our first inaugural forum. And they came from 31 countries, which was also really interesting. I have to say, when you invite people to Monaco, you know, they do like to come. I know you've been here a few times, so we have that going for us. And so we had a great meeting. We had, you know, some really interesting breakout groups and discussions around all kinds of aspects of renewables and applying hydrogen to transportation in many different sectors. And then one of the other really exciting parts of it was our prize for innovation. So we had an open call for applications for anyone who was using hydrogen in a transportation sector. And we got some really fabulous applications. There was a selection panel, and it was narrowed down to, I think we had six participants that were invited to present at the forum. And they were from all over the world, South Africa, France, Israel, just all over. And they were able to present and speak about their innovation. And then we had our panel who was there asking them questions, and they had to kind of, you know, defend a little bit their technology. And then on the final day of the forum, we were very happy to have His Serene Highness Prince Albert join us. And he was the one who gave the prize. And we awarded the prize to an organization called Genovos, who does a renewable hydrogen maritime fuel cell. So, you know, really fascinating technology. They're based in France. You know, they've made some really great strides, and we were really happy to recognize the work that they were doing.
That's great. We did a podcast recently with a company called Ceres Power, which produces solid oxide fuel cells, which can be used in multiple blocks. So they could power relatively large vessels. The problem with fuel cells recently is, well, until recently, has been scale.
Right.
Getting them onto ocean-going size vessels, they just don't create enough power. and they have a lot of weight, yes, but they can be used for auxiliary power. I mean, they're part of the mix of energy.
Yeah.
So for non-propulsive energy systems on vessels, for, you know, doing the heat and the light and the machinery, they are a realistic solution these days.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the biggest thing with renewables is that it's not going to be one solution. It has to be every solution. And, you know, we're really focused on hydrogen because we feel that it has a sort of unique aspect to helping these transportation sectors. So not only shipping, but also air and potentially even, you know, land-based travel. And we were really happy to have the support of the government of Monaco, because Monaco is a place that is, you know, very closely associated with the sea, both in terms of commercial aspects. So around shipping, we have many large shipping companies based here, as well as the yachting industry, which Monaco is perhaps more known for, very glamorous super yachts, which you can see in the port anytime. But also there's a really strong commitment starting from Prince Albert and his government to protecting the environment, to renewable fuels, to just environmentalism. He's been an environmentalist, I think, really his whole life. And we were very happy to have the Minister of Public Works, Environment and Planning from Monaco join us and speak to everyone at the forum about the commitment of Monaco and how they want to support this transition to renewable energies, and how, you know, we're hoping to incorporate hydrogen very strongly in that. As you know, Monaco is a very small place, but we try to punch above our weight, as they say. And I feel like transition to renewables and commitment to environmental principles is one of those areas where we can really take the lead in.
Yeah, well, a small place, but very high concentration of influential individuals who can actually shift the dial on things.
Yeah, exactly. I think influence and hopefully innovation, because, you know, we understand that this is a fight, even though we are a small country, and I imagine our emissions are nowhere near what some other countries may have. You know, if you look at the shipping sector, it actually is like the sixth or seventh largest emitter of CO2 in the world, just as a sector. And so, you know, we feel that this is something that where there's a lot of potential for hydrogen and a huge need, which I'm sure you've come across in the work that you're doing.
Very much. It's part of our regular discussions. And of course, you know, shipping is doing a lot and waiting for the regulators to catch up to some extent.
Exactly.
But one of the things we've learned in the course of these podcasts is that there is room for everybody. So, you know, Monaco might be geographically small, but there's plenty of room for its contribution.
Yeah.
To the energy transition, particularly with regard to shipping.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we picked up a lot of momentum with the conference. It was a little bit, you know, it was our first edition, as I said, and we weren't quite sure how people were going to react and still to gather people. We had wanted to have the conference, you know, last year, but obviously with COVID. And so this was the first time we were able to bring people together in a room. And I think everyone was really happy to be in a room together. And it was great to see during the breaks and the social events where people were just so happy to be, you know, kind of networking and talking and meeting new people and, you know, that you wouldn't normally have in a room together. So, it was a really, you know, I think we were very happy to provide this platform, you know, to facilitate these kind of conversations. And we're hoping that next year would be even better.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing about it. Please let us know the dates.
Yes.
We have a space on the Ship Energy website where we can put links to people's conferences up. So we'll definitely do that. And I'll make the time to attend. I couldn't come to this year's because of other commitments.
Yes, we are sad.
I was in Monaco just before your event running my own ESG seminar. And that was one of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about today, because I know it's something you're quite involved with. listeners may have read my recent article on the Ship Energy website talking about how ship owners are going to have to do more on the S and the G in future if they want access to the capital to work on the E bit of ESG. And when you're not working at the Monaco Hydrogen Alliance, you're also the founder and CEO of your own ESG advisory business, aren't you?
That's right. Thanks for mentioning that. Yes, I founded Stance recently. And this was really based on my background, which is both first in business, then in politics and foreign policy, and then some time in the nonprofit sector, and really feeling a bit of frustration with all the things that were going on in the world and how governments weren't seeming to be able to solve things and how nonprofits were not solving things. And I saw the potential of business and the role that they can play in actually furthering some of these discussions around social impact and, you know, even political issues. More and more companies are being forced to take a stance on things, whether they like it or not, you know, and it's something that they're being asked to do, not only by their customers, but their employees and their other stakeholders who want to know, what are the values of our company and how are we putting those into practice? And so I think that, as you say, the E part is something that people can wrap their heads around more easily. And there's some very clear metrics for the, for measuring, you know, how that's done. The S and the G, you know, are the ones that can be more confusing for people, but I think are no less important.
So with your advocacy services, then you're consulting to corporates, to businesses. So what's the process? What are the actions that businesses need to take to improve their score on the S bit, if you like?
Yeah, exactly. So there's three things that I think every company needs to do. So one is a sort of basic understanding of just being a good corporate citizen. So, you know, when it's Pride Month, you're recognizing that. When it's Black History Month, you're recognizing that. You have your kind of basis covered. But then there's two other points that I think are really important. And one is understanding your values and understanding your corporate mission in terms of what is its relationship to the society around it. Mm-hmm. And this can be both in big ways and small ways. So it doesn't have to be that, you know, you're sponsoring your local teams and you're giving to the World Wildlife Fund. And, you know, I think it's really important to know what your values are and find one or two issues that really resonate with you as a company. So is it something that's tied to the founder? Is it something about your, you know, the community where you are? Is it something that relates, that should be in alignment with your basic mission? Because I think what's really important is that, you know, when we used to do CSR, which is a, you know, the old term, you know, it was like CSR was over in some office down the street. And, you know, we did something once or twice a year and we could feel good about it. And we put a nice picture of a kid on our annual report. And that was it. But that's not what, you know, that's not what this is. What we need to do now is that we have to align our values with our business model. So really, it's about not only just having a model that is around profit, but also social impact and social goals, and understanding that and making it part of the business model. They have to work together. They can't be separate. And the more it's incorporated into your business model, the more impact you can have. So it's really important that the values are in alignment with the company and that it's incorporated into the business model. And that whatever those things are, that is, it's in alignment with the values of the company and your mission and resonate with everyone involved. And then the third aspect is being responsive. So we've seen this perhaps a bit more in the US, where everything like the killing of George Floyd to, you know, even to the war in Ukraine, to the issues around abortion, you know, we have seen corporations respond and get in the, you know, immediately come out with statements saying, this is, you know, we don't agree with this. And, or, we, you know, or if it's something they want to support, or they say, we want to support Ukraine, we want to support, you know, the protests in Iran. These are areas where companies don't normally jump in. You know, it's not normally part of their business model to take a stance on these things. But I believe that it's really important, if it's something that that resonates with the values, that is important, that has an authenticity around what the company is. So you have the potential for backlash if you just start putting your name and logo on, you know, on these protests. We've seen, you know, we've seen some backlash to that in the past. So you don't want, you have to do it quite thoughtfully. And that's, you know, that's where I come in, is to help companies take a stance to engage in social and political issues with authenticity, with alignment to their values, and with intelligence, so that they're doing it in a way that's really going to have an impact to all of their stakeholders. So one of the reasons that I think it's really important is with even these younger generations, that they want to work with a company that has values, and they want to work with a company that supports things that they believe in. And so in order for you to have, you know, whether it's retention or whether it's hiring, it's really important that a company can also say, yeah, here's our social values, and here's how we implement them in the world, and here's how that plays a part in your day-to-day work. From my opinion, that's only going to be becoming more and more important as we go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose youth has always been idealistic, but traditionally companies would say, oh, don't worry, we'll soon beat that out of them and they'll fall into line. These days, we seem to be a bit more responsive to what youth is coming in and saying to us. And I think when tying this back into the decarbonization debate, particularly for maritime, I think it's about living the UN Sustainable Development Goals, isn't it? So it's, you know, the S bit is about doing your bit on that as well as on the E bit too. So it's what the UN calls, I think, climate justice.
Well, I think, you know, justice is a really, really powerful word. And I think you can see that not only in the environment, but you can see that in race, in gender, in other issues of equality. And it's something that I think every company, whether you're a small company or a big company, you have to address. It's been interesting because there have been some companies that have found having political discussions so divisive that they've said, okay, we're not going to talk about politics at all. No one is allowed to ever bring up anything. But actually, what I've seen is that there's both an interest from the people in the organization to bring those values to work. And then the second thing, and I'm not sure if you follow Edelman, they do a review every year of trends in business, but increasingly, the people who are most trusted in the world are business leaders, which is surprising. But if you look at their report for 2022, which I've been been poring over lately, they have found that, and this is across countries, that actually the people have more faith and trust in their own company than they do in governments, than they do in nonprofit institutions, than they have in the media, for sure. And so I think that also gives another area of responsibility for business leaders and businesses to step in and say, okay, well, if people are going to look to us, then we should take this quite seriously, and we should try to do this well.
I think so. And probably for not so much for shipping companies, but for the big B2C corporations, like the big tech companies, responsibility has become a very real thing. There was an article in Foreign Affairs magazine recently writing about how the likes of Facebook and Amazon and TikTok in China, although it's global now, can have more impact on global affairs than national governments do these days. So corporates have a huge socio-political responsibility. And that ties back into, you know, to the energy transition, doesn't it? So
absolutely.
I mean, yeah. One of the things we've learned from this series of podcasts is there is room for everybody, but everybody has to do their bit. So
yeah, and I think one of the reasons I really like to work with businesses is that, especially if you're a privately held business, which I think a lot of shipping companies are, you can move really quickly. You can make decisions that impact people without having to go through a legislature, or you can come out and make a statement. You can give money. You can take a position. You know, I like that nimbleness that that you can find only in business, and the fact that then you have a platform which maybe you haven't leveraged to talk about any of these issues, but yet you have a whole network. So it's not just employees within the organization, but then you have your other stakeholders, but you also have your whole supply chain. And if you start implementing your values into your supply chain, and then you start saying to your suppliers, well, actually, we only, you know, these are the kind of principles we're supporting. We'd like to see you do the same thing. Then the impact can grow and grow. And I think that, you know, that's a really powerful way for businesses to help move the needle. And everything is needed right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Siri, thank you very much for taking the time to come on. We're coming to the end of the show now, but we appreciate that. The first Monaco Hydrogen Forum was held on 21st, 22nd November 2022. So for 2023, put that one in your diaries, everybody. Make have a little autumn trip down to the Med and get some sunshine before winter closes in on you.
Yes, please.
Depending on where you're starting from.
Anyone who's interested to learn more about the Monaco Hydrogen Alliance, we please check out our website. Hopefully, you can put a link in the notes. And you know, we're definitely looking for more participation, and you know, we'd love to have, you know, to hear from some of the people in your audience, because shipping is certainly one of the areas that we really want to focus on.
Very good, excellent. Well, we look forward to being more involved with you next year. Thank you again.
Great. Thanks so much.
And thank you to everybody out there in listener land, and wish you the very best of luck for 2023. And we'll be coming up with more episodes of the Ship Energy podcast throughout the year. But thanks for now. From Cambridge, it's goodbye.